horrible.
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know.
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back.
Week and a half. Due to me, I'm blaming myself for this one.
Yeah.
We're late.
Okay.
But hopefully from here on out, we won't be.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Anyways,
we left off last time with...
Antarctica.
Antarctica, yeah.
And in my thoughts, I would like you to talk more about what it's like to actually be in Antarctica and not just, well, I guess, how do I explain it? Not so like as far as like what it's like to actually be there, not just what it does to you, because obviously it does do mentally and whatnot. It changes you as well as the mindset you need for it. But what it itself is like, you know, in Antarctica.
Yeah.
So
what do you want to know?
Well, every time I'm saying this, all I picture is like the outdoors part of it. Things you did outdoors.
I'm not an outdoorsy guy.
Oh, that's not my point. But you did stuff. You did snowmobile thingamajigger. You did a helicopter thingy.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I guess maybe not so much outdoors as the activities that you were doing that were a little out of the ordinary, even for people who do go to Antarctica, don't always get to experience that.
Yeah, okay.
I think is where I'm going with that.
Yeah, okay. Some of the things that they do is they give reward trips.
Oh, okay.
Right? And they're called morale trips because morale sucks down there.
Yeah.
And one of the morale trips is you can sign up to go on a snowmobile ride up to the base of Mount Erebus, which is the only local volcano. That's weird to say it that way.
Local volcano?
Yeah, it's the most southern active volcano.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know why I said only local volcano. Like, we should have six local volcanoes.
Right. I was like, what?
But you get all geared up,
uh-huh.
Right? You put on your big red or, you know, you bring red. I wasn't about to wear big red out there.
Yeah, what is? You didn't wear big red very often. That's a big, puffy...
Yeah.
Coat that they give
it's
you, right?
It's a goose down coat.
Right.
I wore big red during the winter.
Right.
Right. But as soon as the sun came out-ish, my black Carhartt came out.
Oh.
Right.
Too hot?
Oh, way too hot.
Yeah.
If it got above zero, big red was gone.
It was too hot.
Yeah.
Now, real quick before you go on, you didn't get to keep big red, did you?
Oh, God, no. It's like a $1,500 coat.
Damn, that would have been cool.
I didn't even get to keep the Carhartt. That's not mine either.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, that sucks.
I wish, but no, didn't get to.
But then again, you also lost a lot of stuff, so that's a whole nother thing that you didn't get back. So.
Yeah, that's a whole different issue. Yeah.
Anyways.
But anyway, on to the snowmobile.
Right, right.
So you get to go out with a group, and there's a leader, and he takes you out, and he shows you everything you need to know about the snowmobile.
Right.
Right. How to ride it, how to notice if something's wrong with it.
Right.
Right. And then you take off from the ice shelf.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then it's like an hour-long ride. Over the ice in what are called stratugies. Okay, you know when you see like a windblown, like sand dunes, but for snow.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And they're hard.
Uh-huh.
Like the edge is really hard.
Yeah,
I can see that. You can jump them, but you don't want to jump them because you're on a snowmobile that has been there for 25 years.
Yeah, so might break it.
Yeah, so you can bounce off of them, but you don't want to do a full-on jump.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, then you go out to Mount Erebus. And it's puffing away, right? Because it is a caldera-style volcano.
Oh, uh-huh.
So it's constantly melting snow. It's hot and it's puffing away. And
right.
It's just really, it's surreal is the right word for it. Because you're out there and I think there was like eight people on my trip.
Right.
Maybe not even eight. But
yeah, we have a couple photos of it. Yeah.
And there's no one around you for.
Ever.
15 miles.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're way out.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right? And it's quiet. I mean, absolutely dead quiet.
One of those where you like only hear the blood flowing through your ears kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's wind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people are out there, they're talking, taking pictures, and, you know, just in general, you know, relaxing and having a good time.
Right.
And I had the opportunity then to see a petrel. It's snow petrel. It's like a swallow.
It's a bird, right?
Yeah, it's a very small, but this is a white snow petrel. Uh-huh. And they are very rare to see in Antarctica.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it just happened to fly over. Everybody's like, oh, petrel.
You didn't get a picture of that, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to pull out my phone and take a picture of this super fast bird.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then, so I did make a video of this. It's on Sparky on Ice. So like the trip back, I made a video of, you know, like a time lapse or a sped up video, which was really cool. That was like an all day thing.
Yeah.
Or like 4 or 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
And it was my first trip on a snowmobile.
As I say,
anywhere.
You haven't been on a snowmobile either, even though we live in Montana.
Right. So. I'm just not really an outdoorsy winter kind of guy.
I think it's more of we like the quieter outdoors winter kind of things or so.
Yeah.
I mean, snowshoeing, things like that.
Yeah, a little more of that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I did. Another thing that you could do is you could go down to Shackleton's Hut.
Okay.
So Shackleton's Hut is this one room-ish cabin. It's like maybe 200 square feet.
Okay.
Maybe a little bigger. Uh-huh. That Russell Shackleton built on his first trip down to hold supplies and be like a base.
And what time frame was that?
1902, 1903, somewhere around there.
So it's like a little mini museum.
Yeah, well, it wasn't intended to be a museum.
It just kind of became it.
Yeah, so what happened was Shackleton, you know, he came back, went back to England, right? And then the next expedition came down. The Discovery, I cannot remember all the details of this. It's been so long. But there was a second expedition that came down. It wasn't Shackleton's, I don't think.
Anyways,
their boat broke.
Oh.
Right?
Now, does that mean they got stuck there?
Yeah, they got stuck there for 2 years. Two years.
Damn.
In this little shack.
In the early 1900s.
In 1904, 1905, something like that. I don't remember the exact details. Again, if you go to my website, I detail this.
So 2 years, that includes their horrific winters.
Yes. So they got there, the boat got stuck in the ice, and the ice closed in and broke it. So they were shuttling all the stuff off of the boat while it was still available, and they put it all in this little shack.
Uh-huh.
And everything that they left behind is still there. So all the tins of biscuits, all the flour, right?
That's cool.
Cornmeal, all the stuff they used to cook with. There's actually layers of seal blubber.
Oh.
Still there. They use seal blubber for heat.
I was going to say,
because they burned it like oil.
Yeah, oil. Yeah.
2 years, right?
I could not even imagine them going through winters back then, because I remember you used to talk about winters and it would be like, you know, 70 below.
Well, with the wind chill,
I was going to say it was like 50 below, but with a wind chill of like, I think you said 72 below once.
And it was Ernest Shackleton, not Russell Shackleton. Uh-huh. That's how bad my memory has become. I can't even remember the names.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they managed to get back. They took their little boats and floated over to another island, right? And they stayed there for a while. And then they took three more of them took what was left of the boats and went over to a whaling port on another island. And they were able to get rescued. They saved everybody.
Oh, nobody
one
died.
No one died.
God, they survived. I can't imagine.
Yeah, the endurance. If you watch the movie or read the book, The Endurance, that's what it's about.
Oh, yeah. So that's like a small museum type thing that you can see, right?
Yep.
And everything is still as was.
Yep.
That's cool.
And it's kind of weird because that hut was built in an island nation. It wasn't New Zealand, but it's something similar, right? So it was built for tropical weather.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was it doing there?
That's where they had it built.
That doesn't make sense, but sure.
Yeah, it was designed there. So they built it for tropical. And then they brought it down to Antarctica.
To me, that makes absolutely no sense.
Yep. So now it's a historical monument. It's protected. You can't go there without a guide.
Oh,
I mean, you can go to it, but you can't go in it.
Oh, God. But you can't go in with a guide.
Yeah. That's actually, you can volunteer to be a guide.
Oh, yeah. So like if you know some stuff about it and whatnot.
Yep. That's kind of cool.
No touching, I assume.
Yeah, no touching. Yeah, no touching.
So what else did you do different?
Well, I got to go on a helicopter ride.
I kind of sort of remember that.
Yep. I went from McMurdo over to Black Island. Black Island is where they keep the communication array. Satellite uplink.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So they shut that down during the winter. Uh-huh. The satellite uplink stays, but they shut down the station during the winter. And part of what we have to do as electricians is we have to go out well, not just electricians, but just facilities, uh-huh. is we have to go out and dewinterize it that so that the person coming in to run it for the summer can live there.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah. Right,
because it's 50 miles away,
oh.
and they live there all summer long.
Right.
So we have to go in and turn everything on. And then we also, during their summer, have to do all the maintenance, right? All the stuff we can't do any other time.
Right, yeah.
So we were replacing a bunch of batteries on the solar system, and I got to go out to do the pre-work on them.
That's cool.
So I got to take it's like a 20-minute helicopter ride across the Ross Sea.
That's cool. Yeah, that we have photos of you and your helicopter gear and whatnot. Yep. But I remember you had also gotten an opportunity to do something. Was it the ISS?
Oh, yeah. So one of the things they do down there are science talks. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of scientists. There's penguin talks. There's microorganism talks. And one of the former science interns, right? She worked with the penguin people down there. And she wanted to communicate with them one summer. It was the summer of 2020, right? So she was able to set up a satellite link with the ISS while she was on the ISS.
Oh, that's cool.
So we all sat in the galley and people could ask her questions live.
Yeah.
Which was the coolest thing because our internet sucks.
And it still worked.
And it still worked. Yeah. I mean, it was choppy, but...
Right.
And she gave us a tour of the ISS. And oh, that's cool. It was really cool. It was like an hour and a half.
And to have it just private like that, not like the whole nation is on with you kind of thing.
Right.
I think that actually is better, honestly.
Yeah. The penguin wranglers were the Ponganuses. That's their name. They've been going down to wrangle penguins for like 35 years.
That would be such a cool job.
Do you know how to wrangle a penguin?
God, no.
You have someone distract the penguin.
Okay.
And then you sneak up behind it and put it in a full Nelson.
Okay.
A full Nelson, you wrap hands around the back and around the arms, right?
Oh, that's
a full Nelson.
Okay.
Right? That's how you wrangle a penguin.
So you're wrestling it.
You're wrestling a penguin.
That sounds so cool.
And people go down, which is what she did,
uh-huh.
to be a penguin wrangler.
That is cool.
And they take them over and they put them in the pen.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a cow pen.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's fenced off.
Yeah.
And they do their studies on whatever they're doing for those penguins. They pick like 10 or 15 a year.
And then they let them go, I assume.
Yeah, they have to.
Because you're not supposed to interact.
Yeah, that was their entire summer, going down wrangling penguins.
That would be such a cool job.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. For me, that would be cool. Any science study would be cool.
Yep.
For me, that's my kind of thing.
Yeah, and they have an actual full-on science center where they do all their lab work. They have I guess you could call it an aquarium. It's what we called it. It was actually big tubs of water.
Yeah.
It wasn't really an aquarium.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But we had to deal with that every year because that water you have to keep the water from freezing because it's coming out of the sea.
Right.
Right. And it has to stay at 26 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So that it simulates a sea.
Fahrenheit.
26 degrees Fahrenheit, obviously. Right.
Now, it's not an obvious thing.
Just,
you never
just
know.
Just above seawater freezing.
I was going to say, that's not,
Seawater freezes at like 25, 26.
Yeah, because of that.
And so we had those lines heat traced.
Oh, yeah.
So that they wouldn't freeze because they had two lines that went up. Mm-hmm. They were a backup line. And they would switch off the pumps, right, occasionally.
Uh-huh.
And when it wasn't running, the heat trace was on.
Right, that makes sense.
And that's, we had, during that power outage in November of, I guess, 2019, it screwed up that entire system.
Oh, I remember that.
That screwed up a lot of systems.
Yeah, yeah.
But specifically that one, because no one was thinking about it during the power outages.
Oh.
Right? And then it was like, oh, the pumps are off. But it had fried part of the system, so we had to finagle it to work.
And what were these?
Studying fish.
I was going to say for fish. And
sea
stuff.
Spiders and anemones and all sorts of stuff.
Cool.
They had divers that would go down and grab sea creatures and bring them up.
Like wrangling the penguins.
Yeah. Their job was to dive every day.
All the science stuff would be so cool.
Yeah. In fact, one diver, he'd been going down for almost 40 years.
Oh my gosh, really?
He finally retired like 2 years ago.
Wow. That's a...
Yeah.
There's somebody who loved his job.
Yeah. He was good at it.
Yeah.
One of the best divers ever.
So, basically, can you think of anything else from Antarctica, from anyone who never... Obviously, many have never been there, but have always wondered or... You know, something that you don't think of when you look or think of Antarctica. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things you don't think about is, I mean, did I talk about how we get there and the airfields. I think I touched on that a little bit.
I want to say you did.
Most people don't realize that there are two working airfields down in McMurdo. Every other station has some sort of airfield.
Right.
But in McMurdo actually has the ICE runway, which can support a C-17, a C-747.
Very large
or Airbus 360.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, and then they have the summer runway, which supports C-130s.
Oh, okay. Just fly.
Yeah. Well, they didn't fly these because these were skied.
Yeah, no, they didn't. No, they didn't do.
I don't know. The biggest, I think, and I think I touched on this last time we talked about it, is the community is just so different down there.
Yeah.
Right. You just can't get by down there as a complete loner.
Right.
Right. You have to have that community. In fact, I knew people who came down who were that loner type.
Uh-huh.
And they lasted like 2 weeks.
Oh,
really? They just couldn't. They couldn't cope.
Oh, really?
And it's weird.
Like, just not want to interact or just weren't comfortable interacting?
I think that's it. Or there is so much, you have to rely on other people for everything.
Right, 'cause
I was gonna
say, you can't just, like, if you want and just stay alone, you have to with them.
Pretty much.
Because I guess I would do good. Because I like being by myself. But at the same time, I think I'm pretty good at interacting. I just prefer not to.
Yeah. And it's just different. You have to go prepared for everything, but you can't prepare for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
Right. It's just, even when you're going out to fix something, you bring everything you think you need and you still didn't bring the right thing.
I absolutely could see that scenario for sure. Yeah.
There's tons of stuff you can do down there that I didn't really get into. You can do cross country skiing. You can rent the fat tire bikes.
Oh, uh-huh.
Hell, there's a marathon.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Right, there's the marathon every year. There's half marathon. There's the Ob Hill Run, which I most certainly did not participate in. I was a timer for the Ob Hill Run.
Well, and they had like a tug of war thing or something you were in charge of?
So, weirdest thing. So, as an electrician, we pull wires all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were pulling huge wires out for the airfield one day. And I was sitting there thinking, electricians would be really good at tug of war. And so I told the rec person this, and she was like, okay, you're in charge. I'm like, what? Whoa, wait, it's not what I meant. So I took over the tug of war. So every year there is a tug of war competition between the New Zealand Scott base, which is like 2 miles away, and McMurdo. And it's, well, we didn't have it for the first 2 years of COVID, but the second year of COVID finally brought it back.
Yeah.
And, so it's bragging rights to who has the best tug of war people.
Right, yeah.
And you recruit the strongest people pound for pound because you're allowed like so many pounds.
Right.
I think it's like 800 pounds or something
for
the men and women's team. Mm-hmm. And then you have to add up all their weight and figure out who's the strongest at that weight class. Because you could get like this massive, huge guy there, right? But he's taking up half your weight.
Right.
So you can't do that.
Right.
It might have been like 1,200 pounds, but it was, you could get 10-12 people on it. So that was a challenge, getting people of the right size and strength to get on there, and then teaching them how to do a tug of war.
Right.
I had to learn how to do tug of war.
It's a thing to learn.
It is. Well, there's rules. Right, so you can't do what's called rowing.
Okay,
so you can't push and pull.
Right,
push, pull, right,
because that's what I was thinking.
Right, that's not allowed. So I'd teach them how to counteract rowing. And then, so I, because I had to figure that out myself, and then we had to figure out like the best stance and who should stand where, and
I think we're getting off topic.
But you but asked me.
I know.
That year, we won all three competitions. So the men's, the women's, and then the combined.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. And it was actually a close match because it was like 2 out of 3. Right. And it was really close because we won 2 of them.
Right.
So it was down to the wire each time, and it was back and forth.
Yeah.
It was really exciting. Everybody liked it.
That's cool. But overall, I guess Antarctica is just something that people have to just go and experience. And they are always hiring for every position under the sun.
So, yes, absolutely. And they don't, I mean, within reason, they don't care about your qualification.
Right.
Right. So electricians, tradespeople, yes.
Yeah, right. Because you kind of got to do it safely.
Science people, yes.
Of course.
But your standard support positions, say like steward,
right?
Which was like the lowest position on station, technically.
And what
so steward is dining room attendant, dishwasher.
Yeah.
Right. That but is also one of the most important positions on station.
Right.
Because if you don't have clean dishes, you got nothing to eat on.
Exactly. Right? And I imagine for anyone who wants to go, that's probably the less stressful of the jobs.
I wouldn't say that either. No.
Easier?
It's not easier because you're on your feet 10 hours a day.
Okay, so I guess for someone who's been, you know, done jobs where it's on, I'm on my feet 24/7, for me, I would not have a problem with that job. Right. Yeah.
But, and that's just the thing. It is one of the more important jobs.
Right.
Right. Even though it's one of the least important jobs. Right.
Right.
As far as stature on the station.
Right. But they hire everything, cooks, bakers,
janitors.
Yeah. Right.
We got people who do nothing but cargo, right? And all they do is they run equipment all day. We got people that hit, I had a roommate 1 year. His entire job was to drive a compactor on the ice runway for 12 hours a day.
Oh, now see, I could do
2 miles down, 2 miles back for
back
12
and forth
hours
all day
a
long.
Day.
Oh, I hope he had good music.
6 days a week.
That's right. I remember you worked 6 days a week.
Yeah, we worked 6 days.
Uh-huh. But for anyone who wants an opportunity to get to Antarctica, that's a good way to get there.
Right. If you have a skill like that where you can run heavy equipment or your trades or you're a carpenter, or if you have culinary skills, they're always hiring culinary.
You've got culinary, yeah, and right. Janitorial.
Right.
And where can you look stuff up like that? Just in how do you look stuff up like that?
I would suggest going to the United States Antarctic Program website, which is USAP.gov.
Okay.
And they have a careers site.
Yeah. And then that way, anyone who wants to, you know, mark that off their bucket list, you can go there. You need to know you're going to work. But at the same time, they have a lot of off hours activities.
Yes.
Like a lot.
They have a lot.
A whole bunch. Yeah.
And just be aware that rarely do people get hired their first time.
Oh, yeah. It takes like a few times.
Yeah.
Of
for
trying.
Most positions, mm-hmm. with the exception of the trades.
Right.
Because trades are in high demand down there.
Right. Yeah. Because they actually found you. You didn't apply for
right.
them, which is very weird and unusual. But yeah, I forgot. That's right. It takes like two or so tries to.
There's people who have been trying for years.
Oh, really?
And they finally get down.
Oh, yeah. But eventually, if you really want to make that happen, just to say that you've been there, done that, you can.
Yep.
Anyways, that's all pretty cool and very unusual for anyone to get the opportunity to do. So if you're interested, I would definitely give that a shot.
Yep. I'll put the link to USAP in the show notes.
That's a good idea.
And
yes.
I'll put the my Sparky on Ice in the show notes as well, so you can see more of the stuff I did then.
Right. Now, is that all talking or is that video? I forget.
That's a bit of both.
A bit of both?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a podcast and a video section.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like scenery.
I mostly do the YouTube thing on that.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right, but now let's actually get into the whole point of the show for today, because that was basically just touching on what we didn't finish last time, although that was still longer than it meant to be, but
like
it
I
is
said,
what it is.
I can talk Antarctica all day, every day.
And just keep going on a rant.
Yeah.
All right, let's try to switch gears now onto our topic of this episode.
Okay. Well, a wave of legislation mm-hmm. across the United States seeks to introduce religious content, particularly the Ten Commandments, into public school classroom.
Yeah, which, I'm sorry, that's just a bunch of bullshit.
I agree.
Anyways, sorry.
There are people who argue for its historical and cultural significance.
Is there, though?
But they face heavy constitutional challenges, particularly First Amendment.
You think?
Right. So in order to get into this, we have to get into some precedent.
Okay.
And it's the Lemon Test, which is Lemon versus Kurtzman from 1971.
Okay.
I know we've talked about the Lemon Test on this many, many times.
Yeah, but it's probably been a hot minute.
Well, it's been at least 6 years.
Seven. Remember? Seven. It's seven. We haven't been on for 7 years.
So let's talk about the Lemon Test.
Okay.
Right. What Lemon versus Kurtzman established was three things, right? A law has to have a secular purpose, right? Government action must have secular, not sexular.
Uh-huh.
Right. Secular legislative purchase, which means it can't be specifically religious in nature.
Right.
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 The primary effect of the government action must neither advance nor inhibit religion, which is why we have freedom of and freedom from religion.
Right.
So you can't make religiously based laws specifically.
Oh, okay.
Either for or against.
Right, right.
Right. And the government must not foster an excessive entanglement with religion. So that's why we don't tax churches.
Right.
Right. And things like that. Or we allow
I was going to say, I have some issues with that, but sure.
Or we allow religious daycares to ignore certain rules.
Yeah, that I have big issues with, but okay. Because right. I've taught childcare for many, many years, and the stuff that they get to get away with that regular ones don't is wrong.
Yeah.
Even safety-wise, it's wrong.
I know.
But never mind, that's my rant.
So, recently, mm-hmm. With a couple cases, the Supreme Court has weakened the Lemon Test. Right?
Yeah, I could see that.
The Bremerton praying coach. That was one of them, right? Yeah, they said it was okay for him to pray. So that weakened the law a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Things like that.
Yeah, it takes just those tiny little bits and then the wall starts falling right. down.
So all that to lead into the Ten Commandments in schools.
Which is where we're at today.
Which is where we're at today. And we're going to start with, well, there's a whole slew of new Ten Commandment laws coming up.
Oh.
As you know, I follow the laws.
Right.
Not only do I follow the laws, I follow the laws.
Very funny. Uh-huh. Ha ha.
Don't start with me.
Dad joke.
Anyway, let's start with South Dakota, SB 51.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bill mandating the display of Ten Commandments in public school classrooms and attempts to justify this action by citing historical precedents in American education. However, that context is weak and misleading.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, so let's look at the historical context they're using. So let's start with the New England Primer.
Okay.
All right, which is a 17th century textbook. So we're talking 1680s, I think.
Okay.
Right? Used for religious instruction.
Wait, they're not wanting to use that, or using that as historical?
Actually, in this law, it says they have to put this in as its historical reason, part of its historical reasoning. So on the poster, has to include this, right?
Okay.
And it predates the formation of the United States, obviously.
You think?
And it was specifically for religious instruction, which is why it had the Ten Commandments in it.
Right.
And that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't make sense for,
I was gonna say, for
current
that,
law.
That time it made fine sense, but no.
All right. So let's move forward
uh-huh.
to the McGuffey Reader.
Uh-huh.
It's a 19th century textbook, 1830s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and was used in American schools, but primarily focused on moral instruction.
Okay,
and this predates the formation of state-run public schools.
Oh, right.
So these were still in parochial schools.
Right, right,
right. And while it includes stories that reference the Ten Commandments, they were not central to the development of American law or central proper principles right. of the Constitution. Right,
right. They were still kind of just traditional, almost.
Right, and then they used Noah Webster's work. Which is just ridiculous on its face, because even though the Ten Commandments is mentioned in Webster's work, it's still a dictionary.
Right? Right.
So their whole idea is that they believe our Constitution was based on the Ten Commandments, which is patently wrong.
Wrong.
Right?
So wrong.
Just absolutely wrong. So that's South Dakota.
Uh-huh.
Right? The problem is they're focusing on religious content, right?
Right.
The Ten Commandments are absolutely religious in nature. There's no question about it.
No, none whatsoever.
Right. And it violates the establishment. All right. Let's move on to some others.
Okay.
We got South Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas, North Dakota, and Missouri. These are essentially the same law in all these states.
Yeah.
The minor wording based on whichever state it's in. But
right.
basically, they're all saying they're mandating the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Right.
Which I have so many issues with.
Right. And they have rules about the size and the font, right?
Oh,
right.
Uh-huh.
And what can be accompanied with it?
Oh, really?
So they're stating, they're making it so that this is the primary focus of whatever they put
right,
up, right?
Right. So let me ask you this: maybe I tuned out or something, but now are these laws that have passed or are trying to pass? I would say they should be trying.
There's
to pass.
Already laws that have passed in Louisiana and Utah.
That they got it through.
And I think Texas. No, Texas got this one.
Yeah.
They're retrying Texas.
Oh, okay.
But
so,
Louisiana had one.
And they passed.
Utah had it. And they passed.
That's the problem, though. If you have some states that pass, it's just a domino effect after
right.
that.
Exactly. However, I do know the one in Louisiana is facing severe court challenges. And
as
in fact,
it should.
I just read today. I didn't get a chance to put it in here.
Uh-huh.
But a judge has ruled that it is unconstitutional on its face.
You fucking
right?
think so? Jesus.
So he's allowing the lawsuit to go through.
So I have issues with the fact that it was even allowed to pass in the first place. It's separation, church, state. public schools. Why is this even a question? I mean, to me, it seems like such a waste of time and taxpayers' dollars that this is even a thing. And I know they do it because they figured they're going to get it through eventually.
Yeah.
But it is clearly a violation of the Constitution. So how is it even possible that it gets through?
Because you have Christian lawmakers, which we'll get into here in a few minutes.
Again, they're still the Constitution.
Right, that don't believe in the concept of separation of church and state. They absolutely believe that the nation was founded as a Christian nation by our Christian founders.
I don't give a shit if that's what they think, but what it actually is and clearly stated is what the Constitution says.
I know.
So I don't understand their,
That's why we have to keep fighting this.
And of course we have to, but the fact that we have to is the problem right there.
Oh,
that
I know.
We even have to do this in the freaking first place.
Right. All right. Let's move closer to home.
Oh, yes, let's.
So Montana SB 114.
Uh-huh.
It again mandates the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms, but here's the beautiful but. It absolutely violates.
Beautiful but.
The non-sectarian clause. Yes, beautiful
Sorry,
but.
Sorry, I had to get... Earworms.
violates the non-sectarian clause within Montana Constitution.
Okay, so is it likely to not pass?
Oh, it's likely going to pass, but it will definitely be challenged.
Damn it.
So the Montana Constitution specifically prohibits the use of public funds and property for sectarian purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Ten Commandments is absolutely sectarian, right?
Yes, of course.
So one good thing about Montana...
Mm-hmm.
Is our Supreme Court our strict constitutionalist?
Well, that's right? A saving grace.
They have saved abortion rights.
Yes.
Right? They have saved gay marriage rights in this state.
Which
the Supreme Court here, although it's Republican, they are true constitutionalists.
And thank God that they are.
Yes.
But and because Montana is such a red state, and oh my God, everywhere you go, it's like, okay, I know who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the fact that we have that, I find like that tiny little gold nugget hidden in the dirt kind of thing.
Yeah.
And thank goodness we do have that.
And here's why I think it's going to be struck down.
Okay.
The bill explicitly states the Ten Commandments must be the central focus of the display because it allows them to put up others, such as the Declaration of Independence, Magna Carta, things like that. But the Ten Commandments must be the central focus.
Oh, that's...
Which is blatantly unconstitutional. Because you can put up those others, right? And if you put it up as a historical display, it's technically legal, right? But it can't be the central focus.
Yeah, because... And what I don't understand, everybody, you know, all these states are pushing all this. They have schools for this. But I guess because they need to spread it to everyone, which is why they want it in the public schools.
Right.
And because, you know, what they have is just not enough. We have to have it all. You know, I see that as greed, but sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Indiana, which HB 1231.
Okay.
It's a much simpler bill. It's like 1.5 paragraphs, right? And it seems very non-intrusive, but it has some problems.
Okay.
One, it doesn't have a clearly defined secular purpose. So it doesn't even claim historical context or educational context. It just says you have to put this up.
They just want it up.
Yep.
Just cuts.
Right. Okay. And that is obviously a government endorsement of religion because the Ten Commandments are obviously religious. I don't know how many times we have to say this.
It's ridiculous that you do because it's for no other purpose.
Right. This bill specifically promotes religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And again, it's questionable. It'll be interesting to watch and see what states pass and what states don't.
Right.
And the concern is, which is why they do it, is the more that do pass, the more that will pass.
Right. And this all comes from something I've been saying for years.
Yes, you have. Right?
So years and years ago, most of you who listen to his show on a regular basis know that I absolutely vehemently opposed In God We Trust on any government buildings.
Agreed.
Right. And I told people back then, that's not going to be the end. They're not going to stop with In God We Trust.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
And most people were on board with that. Mm-hmm. But there were those doubters, like, why do you even care about this? Such a small thing. And
yeah.
This is why.
This is exactly why.
This
which
is
you
what
said
I told you was going to happen.
Specifically, I remember, because it was a big old thing about In God We Trust. We always were for E Pluribus Unum.
Yes.
That was, you know, that was always are a thing. But yeah, I mean, and it was just inevitable. It just took a hot minute to get there.
Yeah.
And now here we are.
Yeah. We've got these bills passing all over the United
States. All over. I mean, right. Hot buttons popping up everywhere.
Right. Which is what that entire movement was for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you got to ask, where's this coming from?
Okay.
Right. Because this is obviously a concerted effort, because six of the bills or five of the bills are almost exactly the same language.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes, they are.
Okay. So from what I've been able to determine, it is most likely the National Association of Christian Lawmakers.
Ah.
And guess who runs that group?
I can guess.
None other than show regular Jason Rapert.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Who won the coveted Mr. Potter Award.
That's right.
On episode 107 for posting the Ten Commandments at the state capitol.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. Which got knocked down, by the way. And then he did a GoFundMe, which he's basically stole the money from.
Oh.
Right. I can't say he stole the money, but he kind of stole the money from it.
Yeah.
Because insurance paid for the.
Really?
Right. And he still had a GoFundMe. So it was really bad.
Oh, right? Really?
So Jason Rupert's a bad guy.
Uh-huh. Well, Potter.
Yeah. All right. But why?
Okay.
All right. So this organization's focus on connecting and equipping Christian. I got to read that again. Equipping Christian lawmakers to lead an increased emphasis on religious beliefs in policymaking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Eroding the fundamental principle separates churches.
Right.
Why is that important, you say?
Okay.
I know you were going to say that.
Yes, I was. Go right. ahead.
So if Christian lawmakers prioritize their beliefs, then they are by default discriminating against all other beliefs.
Exactly.
Right. And because their beliefs are so particular, they're going to discriminate against LGBTQ, women, religious minorities, ethnic minorities, mm-hmm. right? Because it's in their doctrine to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So yeah. with the Ten Commandments, they all suck, right? And the ones that don't suck predate Christianity.
Right.
So they don't even get to use that.
They always steal shit for their stuff.
But the first five are basically worship my way,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. No more.
My way, no highway option.
Right. So that whole idea undermines what America was built on, which is democratic principles and a secular nation. We wanted to get away from the Church of England and the king, who was mm-hmm. anointed by the Church of England, or vice versa, kind of both.
And he dictated how you will believe,
right.
and everything you do is how I want you to do
right.
it, which is the whole core of why America was built.
Right.
And it was not built on a Christian nation. Were they Christian? Of course. But that's not what they wanted. They wanted everyone to have the right to follow who they wanted or who they didn't want, to do what they chose, to not have someone dictate for
right.
them. That was the founding reason of starting the whole thing.
And most of our founding fathers, with a couple exceptions, were probably deists,
mm-hmm.
right? They were what you would consider evangelicals. It wasn't evangelicalism at the time. Evangelicals, a 20th century
right, of
concept.
Course. Yeah.
But there were those that would have been considered evangelicals at the time.
Right.
And even they were mostly against prayer at the meetings.
Right. Because even though they were our category of evangelicals, they still believed in the whole, you still have the right to, do what you want
right.
to do for you, but this is how I am,
right.
which is how it should be.
Yeah. I mean, during a constitutional convention, one of them suggested that we have a prayer, and Norris was like, hell no, we don't need that. Let's just get on with business.
Right.
So we are not a Christian nation, maybe a nation of Christians, but we are not a Christian nation. We were never founded as a Christian nation.
That is correct.
Right. And putting these Ten Commandments in schools gives the impression that we are.
And goes against everything they fought for.
Right. And that everything we've won over the past 100 years.
More.
Right?
More.
Well, I mean, just in court battles over the past 100 years. It wasn't until the 40s that we really started winning court battles on separation of church state issues.
Right.
Prayer in school. There were a couple others.
Mine's going blank.
Yeah. Bible reading in school.
Uh-huh.
Right? You can't force kids to read the Bible.
Right.
Right? We have all these court cases that come up, and it's obvious that we have separation of church state, no matter what people like Jason Rapert say.
Right. And there, if you want your children to do things like that, read the Bible and whatnot, there are schools for that.
Yeah. There's private schools that you can send them to
right.
that I don't have to pay for.
Right. And yeah, because, you know, public school, our tax dollars are paying for. I, for a short time, also went to Catholic school. So if, you know, my parents at the time wanted me to, you know, do the whole Bible thing and, you know, the Ash Wednesday and all the blah, 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 all the crap that we had to do in Catholic school, they sent me there for that. They don't keep me in public school for that.
No.
I mean,
There's no need for Bible readings in schools.
No, you have specific schools that you can take your children to if that's what you want for your children.
And I guarantee you right now, Ten Commandments will not be the end.
Oh, God, no. Uh-uh. No.
I mean, there are laws in like Idaho and a couple other places, Utah, that are mandating Bible classes.
Oh, that's already, right.
Right? We talked about it a couple episodes ago. Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah, and because that's all the Ten Commandments is.
Oklahoma. Look at Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma is a whole nother beast on its own.
Speaking of Oklahoma, I just remembered an article I read today that there is another law that I didn't catch for this that's going to mandate the Ten Commandments in the state capitol.
Really?
Yep.
So just take it right to the source.
Yep. And I was like, yeah, just burn the whole Constitution. Go ahead.
At that point, you know, they might as well because they're just blatantly ignoring it.
Yeah.
But to force them to do Bible verses in public school, if I lived in Oklahoma, I would be like, well, no, I don't live in Oklahoma, and I'm still fuming through my ears because that's a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah, and it could easily come to any red state.
Well, of course it could, but just it's a public school where everyone's taxes are paying for it. You want your kid to read the goddamn Bible, put their freaking asses in whatever private school you need them to be in.
I agree.
It's bullshit.
Homeschool them. I don't care.
Well, and here, that's the ironic thing. We lived here, it'll be 20 years ago last year, or yeah. Next year.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I homeschooled our kids, and we are obviously atheist, and, you know, and we're, you know, but that's just how it's always been, science, you know, that kind of thing. And we've been together for like 30 some odd years, and I homeschool my kids. So we look like that traditional Christian red state kind of family. And every time I homeschooled my kids and someone knew about it, they thought for sure it was all, you know, religious based. And mm-hmm. I would get like these, not so much here, but like when I used to homeschool in other states, this funny looks, you know, because they associate.
We got that in Washington.
Yeah, yeah. Because they associate homeschool with, you know, they're crazy Bible thumpers or something like that. So it was really weird. But, you know, here in this state, they didn't do that so much. But if I was religious and I didn't like how the public schools were teaching, which that's not why I took my kids out, then you could do your Bible study schools homeschooling.
Right.
And if you can't afford to put them in, you know, the private school or what have you. And, you know, you have an option if you need that. It's not like you don't get the option.
Right.
So I just don't understand why they need to push it in all the public schools and shove it down everyone's freaking throat.
Yeah.
I mean, why? When is it ever enough?
It's never enough with them. Not until everyone is forced to be a Christian.
So I take that every time I think about that, it's like money greed for mm-hmm. like really wealthy people. It's never enough. I see that with the religious trying to push this stuff in public schools. It's never enough. It's religious greed, I guess.
It is.
But anyways, I'm ranting again.
Yeah.
I find it infuriating. And the fact that we are even having to do this in the first place, I think, is what burns my butt the most.
Yes.
That we shouldn't even be here. This shouldn't be a thing, I guess.
We fought this battle already.
Exactly. I mean, we have a constitution for a flipping reason.
Right.
And the fact that they're just blatantly ignoring it.
Well, Trump gave us a very, very right-wing Supreme Court.
Honestly.
And this is why they're doing it, because they think they can win. Right.
And that's where I was going to go. I think, as much as I hate Trump and all, and I sounds like it even more so, I think since he started running for office, this is where it just like fireballed.
Well,
it just started going nuts so crazy.
Well, the Christian right saw him as a tool, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's easily manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
Right? All they had to do was say, you'll get more followers if you hold the Bible.
Well, right. Even if it's upside down.
Yeah, true.
But for Trump, it's for him, as we all know, he is not religious. Don't give a shit what he says. For him, his God is everyone paying attention to him.
He is God.
Him. Oh, in his mind, he thinks he is.
Right.
But he craves the attention, and he can't not have the attention. So he'll say and do whatever you want him to do if it gets him the attention,
right?
Which is why he's so easily manipulated.
Or if it makes him money.
Or money. money and attention.
Which is why he's selling his new Bible for the inauguration for $65.
That you can all go and buy now.
From China.
Yeah, how ironic is that bullshit? I mean, seriously. But they'll have tariffs, so kill on that.
Yeah, okay.
The price might go up.
Sure.
But yeah, the fact that we're fighting this is just absolutely ridiculous. I think our founding fathers, if they were to sit up right now, would just fall back down and roll in their grave. Oh,
absolutely.
And just cry themselves dead.
Yeah.
Because...
Cry themselves dead?
Yep. It's not asleep. Cry themselves dead.
They would just die again.
They're just going to die all over again. Because having to go through what they all did, all of them, not just, you know, the main guys who signed the paper and everything, everyone who was involved with the whole thing, to see where we're at now is heartbreaking.
Yes.
And I honestly, I think this is just the beginning, if you want my honest opinion.
We got 4 years of this bullshit.
Well, and not only because of Trump, now they think that, yeah, we can get everything passed. Let's shove it all in now that he's in office. But I just think in general, I think it's the beginning of a very long ride of it not stopping for a while or not even slowing down for a good while.
I mean, this has been filling up my newsfeed.
Oh,
just the Ten Commandments, right?
Oh, really?
Just absolutely nonstop.
Which
is why I wanted to do this, because there's so many of them now.
Yeah, and just state after state. That's basically, it's like if one does it, they kind of like group together because they feel stronger if we all go together.
Same way they did in God We Trust, right? Mm-hmm. They all grouped together at about the same time.
Yes, they did.
Right? And all these sheriff departments and all these schools.
Yes, that's right. I remember that.
It was all these police departments, started with them, and then it moved into council boardrooms, right? And then it moved into schools was like their last...
Right.
Because they knew they would have a hard time in school.
Right. And then they did that. And now it's the Ten Commandments. And next it's going to be requiring them to read the Bible before the beginning of the school day, you know, right at the beginning of the school day, like the pledge or something. And, you know, the whole it's just going to keep going and going. And there will be no public, quote unquote, schools.
Right. It's all going to be parochial schools.
Although I, in my hopeful heart, think that it would never get to that point. Because so many have to fight to stop the snowball going down the hill in the first place.
Right.
But it's a really hard battle trying to stop that.
Right. Because that costs money.
Right. And hopefully people don't give up and start letting it slide more. Because once they start getting momentum and we can't slow it down, it's not going to stop.
Right.
And this whole country is not going to look like America used to look.
Well, the problem is activism used to work.
Yeah.
Now they don't care.
No, I've noticed that quite a bit also.
Right.
I mean, maybe because we're not as active as we used to be, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
We're not as loud. We're not in the foreground and we're not as loud as we used to be. We're old now, so we're a lot quieter than we used to be. But I hope that it's not the case. I hope it's just because we're not in the foregrounds anymore.
Right.
And people are still really active and
true. Yeah, I hope so. Because
I'm assuming so. I mean,
yeah, because we've been out of the loop for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm just now getting back into the loop. And I don't know who's still out there for the most part.
And we're slow moving.
Yeah, we got a lot going on.
Yeah. So, don't even give me the amount of going on in 8 million directions in our family is kind of psychotic right now. But hopefully we can start seeing more activism and more fighting against these things. Otherwise, it's never going to stop. And they'll eventually be able to make the headway that they're wanting. So we have to try as much as we can, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably about it for now, because I'm just like ranting.
We're yakking.
Yakking. Yeah. It's not ranting, it's yakking.
All right. Well, that's all I got for you this week.
And that's all I got. And we should be able to get it out on time. Our plan is to record on Sundays and release it on Mondays. Is that the thing?
Yeah. Or something close to that.
We will very heartily try to get it out on time.
Yes.
God forbid anything else psychotically going crazy in our house will happen, but fingers crossed, it will absolutely try and make it on time. So for now, that's it for my yakking.
All right. And I'll see you guys next week.
Next week.
We always like to hear your feedback or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review.
If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye. Bye.